Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. Hope everybody had a nice holiday weekend, and certainly the holiday spirits got a boost, Wes, with the Green Bay Packers knocking off the Minnesota Vikings on Saturday afternoon, 38-25. And when you take a look back at this one, it kind of has to start and end with Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson.
Yeah. Well, first off, happy holidays, Mike.
You as well.
Feel very blessed to be sitting next to you here on Packers Unscripted. Can't believe we're almost to 100 episodes. And I think when you listen to Jordy Nelson talk in the locker room, he can't believe that it's already been 59 touchdown passes between him and Aaron Rodgers. And this actually goes back to a story I did earlier this season where I mentioned to Rodgers that, you know, they are the longest tenured duo right now when you look at a quarterback and a receiver in the league. And I don't think he realized that either. I think it's sometimes you take for granted how much time these two guys have spent together. And you and I have discussed it, whether it's Rodgers going for the MVP now or Nelson going for the comeback player of the year. These two guys make each other better, and they bring out the best in each other. And they did it again in that game against the Vikings. Now, there's so many different things flying around about what was going on with the Vikings secondary and what their plan was for Nelson.
Right.
The thing that matters from the Packers' perspective is Rodgers was able to connect with him again, and they put up some big numbers that ultimately, I think, went a long way in this victory.
Yeah, it seemed the Packers came out right away in the first quarter, running a lot of play action. Minnesota prepared for the run after what Ty Montgomery and Christian Michael had done against the Bears. And you know, the passing game got into a rhythm early, and a lot of it was Rodgers and Nelson. It was a variety of things. It was crossing routes. It was boundary patterns. It was scramble plays, all kinds of things. And yeah, as you mentioned, 59 touchdown passes now between the two of them, which is a new franchise record for a duo, surpassing the 57 of Brett Favre and Antonio Freeman. And, you know, not to look back on things too much, but you just wonder what maybe that number would be if Jordy Nelson had missed all of 2015.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it, when you really think about it? Because you don't look at – I can't think of any other duo, at least on the top of my mind. You've known the league longer than I have, but I can't think of another duo that, again, has been together for that amount of time but had one season where they just weren't. One of the guys wasn't playing.
Right, yeah.
Like I guess maybe, there. Yeah, I really, there's nothing that really stands out to me. So for Rodgers and Nelson to get back on the same page the way that they have, Nelson already 90-plus catches, you know, getting close to that 1,200-yard receiving mark, a league-high 14 touchdown passes. That's not easy to do. This is the highest level of professional football.
Yeah.
And for Nelson to step back into those shoes, and the Packers be able to use him in as many ways as they did. I mean, you got to remember, they didn't have Randall Cobb in this game. And you can think back to some games in the past where they didn't have Randall Cobb and how it changed things for them and made things more difficult. Well, the adjustments they made with Nelson, moving him to the slot a little bit, you get Geronimo Allison involved. I just thought when you look at the game plan for what Mike McCarthy planned for this, they really maximized Nelson and the rest of the receivers to their best of their abilities. And Rodgers was obviously able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, it was a tremendous performance by Aaron Rodgers. 4 passing touchdowns. Also had a rushing touchdown, certainly looking suddenly, you know, 7 days or 6 days, actually, I should say, after appearing so limited with that calf injury in the early stages of the Chicago game, that now it's like the calf is healed. I mean, he seemed to be not limited really at all. And to account for 5 touchdowns in all, 136 passer rating, certainly throwing himself even further into the league MVP discussion. I think a lot of that could hinge on whether or not the Packers win the NFC North and make the playoffs and finish off this this late season run here following the 4-game losing streak. But getting back to Nelson again for a second, an interesting comment from Mike McCarthy after the game, and he was asked about the chemistry between Rodgers and Nelson and everything over the years like we've talked about. And his comment was interesting. He said, when you look at it on film, Aaron Rodgers releases the ball sooner when he's throwing to Nelson than to the other receivers. And it speaks volumes about their relationship and about the trust that they have and how well they both know this offense and how much they've played together. And I have to say, I mean, I watch plenty of game film. It's not something I notice.
Yeah.
But the coaches know it and the players know it. They see it, that the ball comes out just a little bit quicker when it's going to Jordy because there's so much trust between 12 and 87.
Yeah, and it's not just the trust factor because obviously Rodgers trusts Davante Adams. He trusts, you know, I think Jared Cook has stepped up in this offense. There's a lot of guys that he's built that rapport with, but there's so much equity built up with Nelson.
Yeah.
And not only that he's going to come down or either competitively compete for the ball or come down with it. But it's also Rodgers knowing that Nelson knows where the ball is going to be, that Nelson can really be able to have that ability to turn on a dime. And how many times, Mike, have you and I noticed where the ball does come out from Rodgers' hands and Nelson isn't looking at him when it happens, but has to track the ball in the air, particularly on some of those plus 20-yard passes. That's not easy to do, and yet both of those guys, as Davante Adams said afterwards, just make it look like a routine drill in practice.
Yep.
When everything's on the line, when it is a game day setting, it's remarkable. And I thought, as your editorial for Packers.com really beautifully articulated, Rodgers going down with the stinger in the first half and in the crowd, how they responded to that, the MVP chance. How, I don't know if I've heard an ovation throughout the course of a game, not just with Rodgers' injury, but with him, with Nelson and the Jordy chance. People were legitimately into what they were doing on that day and appreciating what they were doing. And I think when you look at the Packers' offense, there's a lot of factors that go into it. There's a lot of ways that they can win. But it's always going to come back to Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully those two can keep it going here as the Packers head to Detroit with a shot at the NFC North title. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, turning our attention to the defensive side of the ball for the Packers, the big story, and it's a potentially really big story for Green Bay on the defensive side, is Clay Matthews suddenly looking like his old self again.
Yeah.
And not just a play here or there, but batting down a couple passes at the line of scrimmage, drawing a holding penalty on a crucial third down play. The crushing blindside hit on Sam Bradford that knocks the ball loose for a huge turnover at the end of the first half. Boy, the Packers defense looks a little different when number 52 is playing like that.
Well, what's interesting, Mike, is I think in as much as good as Aaron Rodgers looked, and I'm not discounting his injury whatsoever, you heard him and Mike McCarthy talk about how this calf injury wasn't as severe as it was 2 years ago, that they thought he could eventually, you know, come through this. With Matthews, it was a little bit more of an unknown. What were you going to be able to get from him on a week-to-week basis with that separated shoulder? And for him, and he did say, too, that he was feeling better this week, got a lot more reps during practice. But you get back to when Dom Capers' defense is at its best, particularly in the first half, when you're getting that kind of contribution from Clay Matthews across the board, when it's not just the sacks, it's the plays. That's what shined through in this game. And as Nick Perry said afterwards, too, when he's doing that, that's when it opens up everybody else to make plays in this defense, too. He is the guy. I mean, I think that's been established now for 5 years, that this is the guy that this defense is going to revolve around. And to get him back playing at that level, I think it was a good sign for this game, and it helped them pick up a win. But that's a great sign for them getting into this stretch run of the season.
Yeah, for sure. With this NFC North Championship game coming up against Detroit, which has been flexed to primetime now that we know about. And we talked about it last week with, you know, even with Matthews not at 100%, not really even close to 100% for the previous few games, how the Packers were still putting him out there for that opportunity to make that one game-changing play.
Yeah.
And as I said, he certainly made a handful of significant plays in this game. But when you look at that sack fumble at the end of the first half and you look at the scenario at that time, the Vikings had just hit a 71-yard touchdown pass to get to 21-13. Aaron Rodgers gets sacked on back-to-back plays,
right,
and the Packers have to punt it back to Minnesota. There's a couple minutes left in the first half. They're around midfield, looking to cut into the 21-13 lead, and Minnesota's going to get the ball at the start of the third quarter.
Right.
If there was any moment in that game when the Packers were a little bit on the ropes, so to speak, it was at that moment, and Clay Matthews changed the game. He flies off the edge, whips the left tackle, hits Bradford hard on the blind side. The ball comes out. Mike Daniels recovers. The Packers go down and score a touchdown before half. Suddenly it's 28-13 at halftime, and then Minnesota getting the ball at the start of the third quarter is not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
I thought it was the play of the game.
It reminded me a lot of the Peppers play in Chicago. It was sort of the additive inverse in that, you know, Chicago had made a rally at the end of the first half, and then in the second half they were looking to double up with Barkley at the time in which Peppers got that play. But from Matthew's perspective, we'd already seen him. I think he already had a bad pass at that point in the game.
Yeah.
We'd seen him. He looked a lot more active. But for him to really hit it home on a play like that, he joked afterwards in the locker room, he was just hoping that Bradford wasn't going to get rid of it because the Packers defense was prepared for that. They know Sam Bradford has a quick release. They know he's trying to get things out. And he wasn't able to on that particular play, and it ended up being a really good turnover. 12 takeaways now for the Packers defense in the last three games, but even more important than that, I don't have the exact statistic, but how many times the offense then has capitalized that and turned that into points.
Yeah.
As much as we want to talk about yardage, points, all those different metrics that you can use to judge a defense, as Matthew said afterwards, it comes down to takeaways. And if you look at a team that has the most takeaways, usually those are the teams that are having the most success at the end of the season.
Yeah, those are the plays that that change games. And now suddenly, just, you know, a few weeks ago, the Packers were -5 on the season in turnover differential. Now I believe it's +7.
Yeah.
With one game left in the regular season, just a remarkable turnaround in the turnover department here down the stretch, and it's been a big part of the Packers winning 5 straight here.
It has, and especially they've been getting it from so many different people.
Yep.
It does help to have Matthews back and healthy. You get Nick Perry back with that club. He still gets 2 sacks late to show that he could still be effective with that. Julius Peppers stepping up when both of those guys were injured. That's the contributions you need across the board, and especially with how things have kind of shaken out in the secondary, the Packers need that defensive front to be their strength. And I think kind of like how the season started with how it was, I think with the health getting a little bit better, that's what the Packers are working back to right now.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned Nick Perry getting back on the field. He has his busted hand all clubbed up and everything. Gets a couple of sacks late in the game. I think, let's face it, the game was pretty much in hand. The Vikings were moving the ball and scoring some points in garbage time. But those couple of sacks for Perry, not only do they put him statistically at double digits with 10 now on the season for the first time in his career, but I think there's a potential confidence boost there that he got a feeling for what he can do, what he might be able to accomplish out there on the field with that club, and that bodes well heading into this big game in Detroit as well.
Two things that stuck out for me with that. One, Perry being able to play with the club that late in the game when, as you said, it was kind of garbage time. That shows that the coaches felt confident that he could still play with that, that it wasn't just, okay, get him out there and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Two, Perry did say as the game went on, he was surprised at how much he was able to do. He wasn't sure going in, but being able to use some of his bull rush techniques and his power seems like that's something that could, even if he doesn't have the full range of motion like he usually does, could help him down the stretch.
Yeah, for sure. And with that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, I don't want to forget about a couple of Aaron Rodgers milestones that are worth mentioning here. Some significant things as far as his career. On Saturday against the Vikings, he goes over 4,000 passing yards for, I believe it's the 6th time in his career. And he also goes over 35 touchdown passes in a season for the 4th time in his career. Those are both now franchise records in terms of the frequency surpassing marks by Brett Favre. He also gets to 374 pass completions on the season, which is a new single-season record, breaking a mark of Favre's. And I don't remember the numbers exactly. Maybe you can help me out. But his career passing yardage and rushing yardage totals now, he's over, is it 40,000 passing yards and 2,500 rushing yards?
He's getting close. It's over 2,500 rushing yards now. Now he's, for his regular season career, has over 36,000 passing yards.
Okay.
Is what he's at.
And that combination, he's only, I believe, the 4th quarterback in NFL history to do that.
Yeah.
Joining Fran Tarkenton, Donovan McNabb, and there's a third, another quarterback there that I can't remember exactly who it is. But regardless, Aaron Rodgers continuing to chalk up some impressive statistics, and obviously with all these things coming in, Packers victories just makes it that much sweeter.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the MVP race, I can't think of anybody right now, maybe Elliott with what he's done in Dallas this year, that has been more important to their team winning than Aaron Rodgers has been. He's 29 passes shy right now of eclipsing 600 attempts for the first time in his career. Could possibly do that against Detroit. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But I think he's played some of the best football of his career, and that's really saying something. That's not just hyperbole.
Yeah.
Since that run the table comment. And I think what a lot of guys said in the locker room afterwards is that you really don't find anyone quite like Rodgers who can put everything on himself, make a comment like that that people are going to talk about, people are going to associate with him, and then back it up so powerfully with how he's played on the field. Davante Adams called him a prophet. If you go back a few years ago with the relaxed comment and now with this, I've written this before, I just think Rodgers has such an ability to just really pinpoint the feel of a team and really articulate that in the best way possible. And it's really brought out the best in everybody. I think what he said, everybody felt, but the way he said it and the confidence he showed, it's really spurred along a really important stretch of Packers football.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I'm sure we'll talk about this more as the week goes along. But he is in the MVP conversation for a potential third MVP this year. You mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. Dak Prescott is in that conversation also for the Cowboys. Matt Ryan, the quarterback for the Falcons. Tom Brady, even though he missed the first quarter of the season, there's talk about him as well. And the fact that we're heading into the final regular season game of the year, and there isn't any discussion about the MVP being decided.
Right.
This is not a slam dunk thing. There are a lot of guys here who still have a chance to lay claim to this trophy, and Aaron Rodgers is one of them.
Yeah, and with a pretty good game, I mean, he would eclipse the passing yards he had from 2014. He needs two touchdowns to tie that mark from 2014. Seven interceptions, but I think it's been now over 200 passes he's had since his last interception. I can't think of a player who's played as well as he has in the second half of the season this year than Aaron Rodgers. And for him to really pick this team up, it says a lot about him, and it obviously says a lot about how this offense has adapted to a lot of changes this season.
Yeah, for sure. But before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business here. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there, and Wes, quickly getting back to that one Rodgers statistic, the combination of 35,000 career passing yards and 2,500 career rushing yards. Donovan McNabb, Fran Tarkenton, and John Elway are the only other quarterbacks. Elway was the name we couldn't think of.
Who could forget about John Elway?
Right. But so Rodgers, the fourth one in league history, joining those other three to reach those milestones collectively in a career. But before we go, let's touch briefly on the playoff picture here. For the Green Bay Packers, it's you can win the NFC North by beating Detroit in Week 17. Detroit, at the time we're taping this, is heading into a Monday night football game against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, what happens in that game does not impact the NFC North championship one way or another. It comes down to Detroit and Green Bay for the division title. But the Lions can clinch a playoff spot and guarantee themselves no worse than a wild card if they can beat the Cowboys on Monday night. If the Cowboys win that game, and then there's all sorts of other scenarios whereby the Packers-Lions game could be the winner is in and the loser is out, or it could be the winner wins the division, the loser maybe can get a wild card if a whole bunch of other things happen and various strength of victory tiebreakers and all sorts of other things. So it can get pretty complicated. But for the Packers, like you said, it's about 10 wins. The Packers now have 9, get the 10th one in Detroit next Sunday night, and Green Bay is in the playoffs as a division champ with a home game in the first round.
Right, and Mike McCarthy's made this abundantly clear in the way he's spoken in the media, and I'm assuming the way he's spoken to his team as well, is that that's for us, that's for the media, that's for everybody to discuss in terms of the scenarios and how things could play out and if X and Z happen, how that affects Y. The Packers' major concern is get this win. You get the win, you know you're in the playoffs. That's the only absolute. Everything else is leaving things up to chance. This says a lot for the Packers to have this much control over their destiny after what happened during that midseason stretch.
No question.
To play themselves back in this scenario. And as I've said before here on the show, this is all they wanted. They just wanted to give themselves a shot in the last week of the season to not only make the playoffs, but be able to control their path into the playoffs. And that's what they have right now. If they go into Ford Field and beat the Detroit Lions, now that's easier said than done. That's going to be a tough environment. That fan base is going to be really energized. But it's in their control, and I think that's all you can ask for, especially after going through the midseason, you know, issues and really adversity that they faced.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, when you look at things from Detroit's perspective. We obviously focus so much on Green Bay's perspective for obvious reasons.
Right.
But from Detroit's perspective, with two games to go, the Dallas game and the Green Bay game, they are looking at anything from as good as the two seed and a first-round bye in the NFC playoffs to all the way out of the playoffs potentially and not even getting in.
Right.
I mean, their season, there's such a gap between where they could be on one end of the spectrum or the other just with two games left to go.
There's no team that's better embodied the craziness of the NFC this year than Detroit. You look at the AFC, the situation's already played out. They got to figure out the seeds right now, but they know who's making the playoffs. The NFC, there's so many different things that could happen. From Detroit's perspective, you win one, you're in, whether it's Dallas or Green Bay.
Right.
But both of those teams, that isn't just, you know, easy wins. You got to go get them.
Yeah, for sure. Some really big-time games here down the stretch in the NFL, which is just the way we like
yeah.
it. So with that, that's a wrap on Packers Unscripted for today. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.